910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. In Washington, D.C., President Biden getting briefed at an emergency response center today. He's expected to deliver remarks focusing on extreme weather and impacts for workers. But the president is still facing pressure from members of his own party to address his health. Following the debate last week, ABC's Im Nguyen is in Washington.
Top Democrats are openly voicing concern about President Biden's future as the party's nominee. Rhode Island Senator Sheldon Whitehouse now seeking reassurances that the Biden campaign is being forthcoming about the president's mental acuity.
Attorneys for Donald Trump calling for the jury's verdict in the hush money criminal trial in New York be set aside. It follows the Supreme Court's ruling that presidents have immunity when it comes to official acts. Trump was convicted of falsifying business records. And Hurricane Beryl churning in the Caribbean and heading toward Mexico's Yucatan Peninsula. It's the earliest Category 5 hurricane to form during a hurricane season to date. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A plea hearing is set for the 18th for the mother of missing 3-year-old Elijah Vu. Katrina Bauer and her boyfriend, Jesse Vang, are facing child neglect charges unrelated to Elijah's disappearance in February. Vang is due back in court in September. The Republican National Convention starts in less than 2 weeks. Milwaukee is busy getting ready for 15,000 delegates and other guests. Allison Prangy leads the host committee. She spoke with WISN-TV's Up Front.
We want to wow them. I think a lot of people coming to this convention have never been maybe to Wisconsin, maybe the Midwest. They don't really know that much about our state.
But not everybody's busy. The Pabst Theater Group tells the Recombobulation Area website that most of its venues have no events booked for the RNC. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Law enforcement authorities will be on the lookout for boaters who are drinking while operating their boat during the holiday weekend. A nationwide campaign called Operation Dry Water seeks to discourage people from drinking on the water by reminding them that if they're caught, they could not only lose their boating license, but their driver's license as well. In maintaining the best boat safety as possible, law enforcement authorities are also reminding people that they should wear a life jacket when they're on the water. A 71-year-old man in Barron County died after going into the water below the Makana Dam to help his struggling grandchild get out. According to a press release from the Barron County Sheriff's Office, the man had taken his 2 grandkids to fish and swim in the area, and both were wearing life jackets. When one child began to struggle in the water, he went in to get the kids back to where they could stand, but could not make it back to the shore himself and drowned. The Chetek Fire Dive and Rescue Team assisted in finding him. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers bow to the Rockies. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Colorado Rockies have the worst record in the National League, but last night they beat the Brewers 8-7 in 10 innings. Things got weird in the fifth. Game tied 3-3. Joey Ortiz lays down a bunt and is safe at first, but called out for running outside the base path on Bally Sports Wisconsin.
Bunt attempt by Ortiz. Tough play. Gomber missed him. They're going to say that Joey Ortiz is out of the running lane, and he's going to be out, and now Pat Murphy is going to come and argue this play.
Pat Murphy on getting ejected, even though the replay showed it was a bad call at first.
The first base umpire said that he went more than 3 feet away from the player. In my judgment, I felt like he didn't go more than 3 feet away. If there's any uncertainty, go ahead and ask the home plate umpire. He took offense to that.
After a tough loss to the Rockies, what's next? Joey Ortiz.
Go win some ball games. There's not much to it.
That's Brewers third baseman Joey Ortiz. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Dark, damp, and dreary today with high temperatures just scraping 70 degrees and those winds whipping up to 30 miles per hour. Scattered showers are possible and storm chances return this evening. However, a lot of them and the heaviest look to stay much further south. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 60 degrees at our studios.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Most of my angst comes from the grocery store. I end up behind that person with the checkout line trifecta of coupons, lottery tickets, and writing a personal check. Another checkout person comes and says, I can take someone on aisle three. Who should be the first person they take? The next person in line, right? Where I am, it's a free-for-all. It's like roller derby. It didn't infuriate me, but I was kind of like, whatever.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Again, we're talking about Julian Assange, villain or hero. Karen from Madison, you're on the air. What do you think?
I studied that Edward Snowden. You know, maybe I don't know as much about Julian, but I'm trying to learn more. And I just want to thank everybody for helping me learn.
Thank you for being open to learning more about issues and delving into them here on the Civic Media Radio Network. That is what it's all about.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pat Kreitlow.
Wednesday is my birthday, the big 6-0. What are we doing on the show? Whatever I feel like, because I'm old and I can do whatever I want.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt Nair on air.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Allbush Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Allbaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Allbaugh, along with our outstanding producer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is July 2nd, Tuesday, 2024. A great day to be a Wisconsinite, 6 past the hour of 12 noon. At the current time, high atop State Street, a block off the Capitol Square, overcast right now in downtown Madison. As we got some pretty heavy rain, Mr. Zommers, in the morning, and I know I heard Brittany Merlot, one of our meteorologists on Matt Nair on Air, preceding our show, and I know a lot of places in Wisconsin are looking, or several places, are looking at more heavy rain, several inches in some parts of the state, which is not needed in the least. We are completely out of the drought now in all places of the state, and it's getting pretty serious, particularly for a lot of our ag producers out there who, if they haven't lost crops already for the season, it's getting dangerously close now with some of this flooding.
Yeah, and also threatening people's homes potentially. You don't want any basement flooding. Make sure you keep an eye on those sump pumps and the like.
Yeah, very, very good advice indeed. And check on folks who might be more elderly or living alone and making sure they're doing okay as well. So to everybody across the state of Wisconsin, hang in there. I know that it does not affect everyone. You know, some people up on ridges and whatnot, they're like, what are you talking about? But I know a lot of places along the Mississippi River, in parts of Wisconsin, along the Wisconsin River, pretty much any river or creek right now, you're going to see some flooding. Also some urban areas as well, where you have streets in the low-lying areas, and maybe the drainage isn't as good as it could or should be, going to get some flooding in there. So one of those times where we all just have to be good old Wisconsinites and help each other out, check on one another. And, you know, Trevi Olson, who will be in here tomorrow, he may actually be in person. I heard he's in town. So Bert has told me. So, but as Trevi likes to say, Wisconsin is the kind of place where we do check on one another. And when times are tough, despite our political differences or otherwise, we put all that aside and just help each other out. So this is one of those times where we have to be neighbors to one another and do what we can to help each other out in rough times. And we know that there are people around the world who even have it a lot worse than us. So we'll get through this. It'll be okay. The sun will come out tomorrow, as the old Annie song says. So, or as the great philosopher said, this too shall pass. This too shall pass.
Indeed.
Going to be a great show at 12:30 today. Our friend and colleague, Mr. Luke Mathers from Civic Media, will be in at the bottom of the hour. A little tangenting with Luke at 12:30. And also your calls and all kinds of fun. But I hate to do that, but it is warm in here. We're having some HVAC issues. It is warm, Mr. Zommers, is it not?
It is very warm. So normally the studio and the producer booth do get a little toasty compared to the outside room. And so that room is set a little colder than some people may like, maybe 70 to 72 degrees. In here, noticeably warmer.
Yes.
And right now the temperature, despite the thermostat being set at 70, is either 76 or 77 last time I checked. So it's at least 80 in here.
And where Zomers and I have a window also, even though it's cloudy, the UV rays are coming in. So, Mr. Zomers, if you would, I think we got to take us back to my high school days here.
Those of you on the stream were in for a real treat there.
I was better at stripping with cymbals than I'm an actual shirt, but I've taken off for those not on the stream, on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. I have taken off, and this is a beautiful summer lightweight L.L. Bean polyester. It's not even a flannel. It's just like a summer fishing shirt, and underneath of it, I have my L.L. Bean National Parks t-shirt. So it's appropriate. I will stop there. I will not remove another piece of clothing during the course of the show.
Although he did almost accidentally remove his headphones.
Yes, I almost did. It is warm. It is, but thanks to Casper, one of our fine engineers, he has taken up the call, and the HVAC people are on their way. And all will be well tomorrow.
I hope so.
We hope so. In the meantime, hopefully your air conditioning is working wherever you are at. Now, it is the 2nd of July, believe it or not. And with all the stuff going on here today, and we'll get to the news. Rudy Giuliani has been disbarred by New York State over his participation in the Trump administration activities. The district attorney out in New York, after the announcement, the ruling yesterday by the U.S. Supreme Court, the presidents apparently are above the law, at least as long as it's an official act. So now the Trump attorneys have asked the district attorney in New York to delay Donald Trump's sentencing on 34 felony convictions, and the DA has said, yes, they're open to that. And so Judge Marchand is going to have to figure out whether Trump is actually can be held liable for all this personal stuff based on the Supreme Court. It is not necessarily a light or encouraging news day, so I thought, why not just take a moment at the beginning to take a breath, pause, and reflect, if you will, as my wonderful former teacher Andy Spies is fond of saying, pause, he'd say life as in math, pause and reflect, pause and reflect. So I thought I'd bring you to a little hitherto unknown fact. It turns out, did you know this, that today, the July 2nd, could have been America's Independence Day. Do you know that?
Yes, but only because we recently talked about
talked
this,
about it, yes.
As you will soon hear.
On July 2nd, 1776, the Continental Congress voted to approve the Lee Resolution, stating that these United Colonies are and of right ought to be free and independent states, unquote. John Adams predicted that July 2nd would be the date remembered in history and would be marked with fireworks and celebrations. So what made the difference? Well, as is often the case, good old marketing. It turns out it's marketing. The Declaration of Independence was passed 2 days later, and printed copies of it called Dunlap Broadsides were distributed to the colonies. Those copies were dated July 4th, and those printed copies are what ended up making history. The most recent sale of a Dunlap broadside was in 2000. Guess who bought it? I didn't know this till I got the piece.
Nicolas Cage.
That's a really good guess, actually. Obscure, but good. No, it was, he just passed away here this last year. The great television producer, writer, Norman Lear.
That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense.
Norman Lear bought it for $8 million.
Wow.
With the goal of displaying it in America to inspire young people to participate in civic activism, to exercise their rights, and above all, vote. And I believe, if memory serves, he put together a traveling display, and some news organization did a piece on this, where he didn't, it wasn't like it was hanging on Norman Lear's wall out in Hollywood. He toured it around the United States so the kids could see this.
Yeah, I remember we heard about that when we had on Kelly Call and the Norman Lear expert, whose name escapes me at the moment.
Me too. I'm fine. I'm embarrassed to say.
I'll find it.
But yeah, it was great. So yes, I mean, as it turns out, today, July 2nd, could have been, or actually properly should have been, Independence. It was the day the vote was taken. And I believe we're going to be having a special 4th of July show coming up here on Thursday. But I believe only two people signed the document on July 4th proper, one of them being John Hancock, the big old signature.
Signed it a little too big.
Signed it a little bit too. I think the line was, I want to make sure the King of England can see it.
That's a good point.
Yeah, just to be kind of snarky to the King of England. So it turns out in Philadelphia, of course, the home of America there, where everything was voted on, the Continental Congress, while we celebrate Independence Day July 4th in memory of the Declaration of Independence, the Founding Fathers and second president, John Adams, envisioned July 2nd as a day of pomp and parade, as he said. That's the date in 1776 the Continental Congress voted and officially declared freedom from Great Britain. Now, almost 250 years later, Philadelphia is celebrating this pre-Independence Day with red, white, and blue to-do. Around Old City, museums, historic sites, and businesses, it will honor the founding of the United States with decor, concerts, games, and extended hours, plus specials at many Old City restaurants. It's the first ever red, white, and blue to-do, which was announced as part of a lead-up to the massive celebration coming in 2026 for America's 250th birthday. It's a partnership of over 40 organizations and the Old City District. So they're thinking about it. It's not funny, but you think about 2026 will be the 250th celebration of America's birthday. After this last week, you kind of start your mind, if we make it.
Yeah.
If we make it.
I think we're all thinking that same thing.
And I guess that's the point of this a little bit. A, to lay some history on you, lay some facts on you. But also, look, it's been a tough week. The debate was not enthralling on either side. One of them was just a perpetual liar. The other one was not articulate. After the Supreme Court yesterday ruling that essentially, in the Supreme Court's eyes, at least in some cases, if they can prove it's quote-unquote official, the president of the United States is above the law.
Which goes against them in their confirmation hearings.
Yes. But I think it's appropriate today on the 2nd of July to remember what it was like out there in Philadelphia. It was hot. There were lots of flies. And John Adams, in the great musical 1776, towards the end of the show, was alone in the chamber asking the question to God and anyone else, is anybody there? Does anybody see what I see? I believe they do. I believe better days are ahead. And as we go out here, I'm going to leave you with the words of John Adams from 1776.
Through all the gloom, I can see the rays of ravishing light and glory. Is anybody there? Does anybody care? Does anybody see what I see? I see fireworks. I see the pageant and pomp and parade. I hear the bells ringing out. I hear the cannons roar. I see Americans, all Americans, free forevermore.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Are you and your family weather ready?
I'm Terry Barr, producer of the Slice of Wisconsin series. Wisconsin weather is ever changing, and all of us with Civic Media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
The heat is on. Did you know that high temperatures are the leading cause of weather related deaths? Here are some safety tips when you're dealing with a Wisconsin scorcher. First, do not leave another person or your pet in the car. 8 kids died in hot cars in the last several years across the state. And it didn't even have to happen. Look before you lock and walk away. Work outside, keep water close, and stay hydrated. Take a break in the shade. And if you can limit time in the heat, even better. Chill out in the air conditioning or find your community's cooling shelter. And check on your family and neighbors to be sure that they're safe too. Stay cool and be cool by being weather ready. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 20 now past the hour of 12 noon, wherever you're taking us along from the shores of Lake Superior, the Great Gitchagumi, down to the shores of Lake Michigan, from Green Bay over to the old Miss, the Mississippi River. Although the old Miss might be a little flooded in some places. Yeah, I saw an article a couple of days ago. That, and I've been there, down in Prairie du Chien in southwest Wisconsin, kind of where the Wisconsin River and the Mississippi River meet, the confluence, if you will, there's a hamburger stand celebrating their 115th anniversary of continual business. It's called Pete's. Pete's Hamburger Stand. I've eaten there in Prairie du Chien. I would like to do a show from Pete's Burgers or Hamburger Stand in Prairie du Chien.
Oh, my mouth is watering.
They kind of cook them in like on an open grill with a bunch of onions and a little bit of water or whatever. So
now I wonder, is it a 115-year-old grill?
I do not know that. One of our texters, I will not name who, texted in watching on the stream asking me to take something else off. this is not Gypsy Rose Lee. I'm sorry. It's not. If you were, it's hot in here today. We're HVAC guys are on their way or gals or whoever they are. And, but no, back in high school, I played cymbals and our great band director, Lauren Jensen, we played the theme from Stripper, which we played earlier. And she taught me how to twirl cymbals, like, because she was the first woman to be a snare drummer under Mike LaCrone at UW-Madison. And she also knew how to twirl cymbals. And so she taught me. And so I would do this quote-unquote striptease with my cymbals.
Learning from the best, I guess.
And I would usually find a teacher in the audience who I either didn't like or I knew would be immensely uncomfortable by my attention.
Ooh, there we go. That's the best. Also, to address another text we got, Andrew in Maine says, my high school days, and Mr. Zomers plays 1920s music. No, I was not calling Todd old. It was by his request.
It was by my because I danced to that, quote unquote, danced to that song back in high school. Yeah. Exactly. That was something to be seen, let me tell you. What else we got? Let's just solicit your calls. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. What are your thoughts on this being the technical official day of American Independence, July 2nd? If you has anybody seen this musical? It was also a movie. I've got the movie on DVD. It was never like a, I think it was, the movie was back from the 70s or something like that, I think, 1776. But it's a great musical, a great show. I've never seen it live and in person. I've wanted to. I know it's been, they played, the show has been at Ford Theater out in D.C., other places around the country. It's a tough show to do because almost all of the cast are guys. And so, and I suppose now with Hamilton breaking kind of the mold, I suppose you could do the show with male and female actors today and just, you know, play the characters regardless of who the actors are playing them. But for many years, of course, it was just played by, and to get that many guys, men, who are great actors and great singers on the stage is not always easy. And the cut we heard before the break there was the great actor-singer Brent Spiner, who many people might remember as Mr. Data on Star Trek Next Generations and the Star Trek Next Generation movies.
I thought he looked familiar.
Yeah, Brent Spiner is a very talented actor and very talented singer. And if you're ever looking for the soundtrack of 1776, I recommend that particular, the Broadway, the original Broadway performance starring Brent Spiner. And it's great because I'm a history person, I'm a musical person, and it's a great, most of the show is based, obviously, in history, and it tells this story that we don't hear that often, that our founders, believe it or not, were not perfect. Some were men, God-fearing men. Others, like Ben Franklin, liked the prostitutes and the alcohol. And it turns out our founding fathers were not all saints. And they weren't all, some of them were slaveholders. Many of them were. And it was not a perfect time had by all. But it took convincing. It took, guess what? Compromise. John Adams had to acquiesce to slavery remaining. There was a push. John Adams didn't want slavery. But in order to get the Declaration of Independence, he had to acquiesce to that terrible thing in order to get the independence from England.
And eventually, it took far too long, but eventually yes. We got there.
And we're still making progress, of course. Yeah, we're still not 100% there, but I think it's a valuable lesson of perseverance, of love between John Adams and Abigail Adams. And it's a great show, 1776.
By the way, the movie, I looked it up. I was hoping it came out in 1976, but it came out in 1972.
855-752-4842. Let's go to Mark from Prairie du Sac. Mark, always a pleasure. What say you?
I've seen the movie several times. I can remember John Adams as Abigail Adams being in it. Also Thomas Jefferson's wife that was in it portrayed. And I don't know if that was historically accurate or not, but... such as it was.
But these people were kids, right? I mean, some of these people, the quote-unquote founding fathers, were in their 20s and 30s.
Yeah, Thomas Jefferson was in his 30s, I believe. Mm-hmm. And in the original draft of the Constitution, they did propose, eliminating slavery because that was one of the grievances against the king that he was transporting, the slaves into America and kind of foisting slavery upon America, because he even recognized at the time that was antithetical to liberty and freedom.
The South called it the quote unquote peculiar institution.
Right, but then there was the whole the triangle of what molasses to rum to slaves. That was that song in the musical, in the movie as well. That it's just fascinating that now we have a Supreme Court who has declared that. We have a new monarchy, because if you read in the Declaration of Independence, our directives against the monarch, because he had more or less unfettered power to do whatever the hell he wanted. And if you declared his enemy, you could be deported back to England and face trial in merry old England and, be drawn and quartered for treason against the king. It is just horrific to me that we have a Supreme Court who basically has set aside, 240 years of that we do not have a monarch in this country, and that's what they claim that we have. But
Mark, do you agree or disagree? I mean, one of the reasons I wanted to bring this up today, A, just to remind people of some history that I think is kind of interesting, that marketing led us to July 4th instead of July 2nd, but also, we've gone through pretty hard times and in this country, and as tough as this week has been, we can get through this if we join together as Americans and remember pragmatism gets you a long ways.
And, however, one thing that occurs to me, that what do we do if the Supreme Court just decides, well, we're going to set aside the election results if Joe Biden wins? Even if he wins in a landslide, they'll say, well, Donald Trump will say, I'm being irreparably harmed if we allow Joe Biden to become president again. And what does that bode for the country? Because the Supreme Court in 2000 actually stopped the count in Florida, which in the end result would have actually produced Al Gore as president, and that...
See,
it's pretty horrifying.
Yeah, I don't disagree with the first part of that, but everything I've seen, Mark, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, because you're a great historian. Everything I've seen from AP to different independent news sources, New York Times, Republicans and Democrats, they went down to Florida and concurred that George W. Bush won by 500 votes. Is that?
I thought it was actually Al Gore that won by that count.
Well, we can check it, but because I want to be accurate. But always appreciate the call, Mark. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it. Back with Luke Mathers, a little tangentine with Mr. Lukester on the other side on the Todd Oswald Show on Civic Media.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
The rainy forecast is likely throwing a wrench in your plans for summer fun. But if we take a look at farm fields across the state, we'll see it's also presenting a challenge for corn and soybeans. I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report, along with you midday on a Tuesday. The latest crop progress and condition report from the National Agricultural Statistics Service puts Wisconsin's crop ratings at the bottom of the pile. Market advisor John Heinberg with Total Farm Marketing has the details.
Soybeans, yeah, we're one of, actually the worst rated soybeans in the nation in terms of that. We're 57% good to excellent. Corn, we're a little bit better, but we're still in the bottom handful of states in terms of our rating. Again, that's just reflective of that wet weather that's come, you know, through the core of the state here and getting it again this morning. You know, and it's very difficult talking to producers. Those areas are just struggling to get something established. It'd be really nice to see things dry out here for a little while, at least to get some crops, you know, going and getting out of the water.
Most of Wisconsin looking forward to some dry days. John Heinberg is a market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. You can take a look at the detailed crop condition report at MidwestFarmReport.com. And don't go anywhere. We'll take a look at what commodity prices are doing next.
I look at this dairy cow, and again, it's the animal that I love. The things that this dairy cow can do and the way that she can produce milk, to me, there is no substitute for milk in the world. And to be able to keep cows and help cows produce that for people, to me, that's a privilege. I'm Dr. Bill Zimmer, nutrition and microbials, commonly called probiotics. That's BioVet. Learn more at bio-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
Got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2024 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. And remember, if you don't enter, you can't win. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
Tuesday from Chicago, cash corn is trading up 3 cents at 410 a bushel. December new crop corn is up 2.5 cents at 423 a bushel. Cash soybeans are trading up 6.25 cents at 1152 1/4. November new crop beans are up 6.5 cents at 1117 1/2. And September wheat is trading down 7.75 cents at 582 1/2. The dairy markets are also trading down. The August Class 3 milk contract is down 38 cents at $19.69 a hundredweight. September milk is down 28 cents at $20.06 a hundredweight. Don't forget to follow along with more agribusiness news at MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm Stephanie Hoff.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Dark, damp, and dreary today, with high temperatures just scraping 70 degrees, and those winds whipping up to 30 miles per hour. Scattered showers are possible, and storm chances return this evening. However, a lot of them, and the heaviest, look to stay much further south. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 60 degrees at our studios.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast format? Search no more. Find it now on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com. Your news just for the Superior area. I'm James Kelly with WBZH News.
Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk.
Our guest, Jonathan Gurko. Deliberative dialogue in democracy isn't winning an argument.
Instead of how do we win and end the conversation, how do we keep it going? How do I listen in a way on the assumption that someone else has something that I can learn from, that will improve my point of view so that we can grow? To me, that's the democratic project.
Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Crude and Dom.
Joe Biden addresses the nation on presidential immunity. We'll have all the coverage. We'll also see whether or not he's had SEAL Team 6 on speed dial this whole time.
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays 4 till 6.
Thank you.
back. The Oddball Show on Civic Media. Pass it around. Break it down. Welcome on back to Civic Media. Luke Mather is in with a very, very vibacious intro music today. Who is that?
It's Glass Animals with Heat Waves.
Of course it is.
Yeah, of course it is. You don't know Glass Animals? Come on.
No, I've never heard of the group Glass Animals, but I bet some of our listeners have.
Oh, I believe the first concert I saw after the pandemic and things were opening back up, we still had to show vaccine passports, and it was down at the Sylvie. And,
really?
Yeah, it was a very, very good show. Wow. But the first live music that I saw when people were getting vaccinated, and we were getting things, the economy roaring again. Back in 2021.
Little Glass Animals for you. Yeah, where are they out of?
UK.
UK.
UK artists. They have an excellent Dreamworld was their first big album in 2020. They got launched real big off of that. Heat Waves was kind of one of their coming out singles. And then they're releasing a new album this summer.
Well, appropriate you bring up the UK because, of course, today, July 2nd, we talked about this the first half hour. Technically, by the book, today, July 2nd, is the day that the founders voted and held the vote and passed the bill that gave us our independence. And it was only through marketing because they had to print it off and they started signing it on July 4th. And so the document was dated July 4th, and it was the marketing people that gave us the 4th of July. As it turns out.
4th of July's got a better ring to it than the 2nd of July.
Yeah. What are you doing for the 2nd?
Second what?
Right, exactly. And of course, my friend TJ is fond of saying, if you have a 5th on the 4th, don't go 4th on the 5th.
There you go. Is that why you're taking the day off on Friday?
Exactly why we're having a pre-recorded show on the 5th.
There you go.
We might have a 5th on the 4th.
There you go. Yeah. Well, it would be an excellent holiday. But yeah, it's Independence Week. It's warm. And we're having a good time here before the holiday weekend.
Yes, indeed. Played a little 1776 on the way out there, and my lovely and talented sister texts in. She has this to say, FYI, 1776 has a special place in my heart. That was what you had playing in your truck. Obsessed about it at the time. When you came out to me, I was like, duh, you're listening to 1776.
There
that's
you go.
Fantastic.
There you go.
News you can use.
News you can use.
Yeah. Well, I guess something.
I haven't seen the show,
present.
So I'm gonna have to check it out. Yeah,
it's a really, really great show. And if you ever, I don't think the Brent Spiner version is in, because it was a Broadway musical in New York, but the older version, I think Dan, I forget who the main actor is, it played John Adams in the actual movie in the 70s. But the movie's okay. It's a little bit more campy, but
Fair enough.
The founding of our country.
And
I think the point is, it wasn't pretty, and that's why I bring it up today of all days. It's been a tough week, Lukester.
Yeah.
It's been a tough week.
Also, it's William Daniels.
Thank you. Thank you. William Daniels was the actor in the movie.
It's tough that it's only Tuesday. It's been a rough week.
It feels like a Friday.
Well, it's Thursday. Yeah. It's basically Thursday.
For some people, for others, no, not the case. So I'll be around all week. But
I think it's important that when you have kind of bad news day after bad news day, that people are just kind of like, and rightly so, I think, are like, well, what's the point? And you feel some hopelessness, and that's normal, and that's okay to vent. But I also think it's important when you look at 1776, these people are trying to get away from a king, trying to compromise. How do you reconcile slavery versus independence? How do you find pragmatism, even though it's imperfect? How do you move forward and
with large states and little states and all of the different things.
And it wasn't perfect by any means, and it was extraordinarily messy, and we're still trying to get a lot of things right.
Yeah. Well, that's the beautiful part about in striving for a more perfect union.
Yes.
We're not striving for a perfect union. We're striving for a more perfect union. And that is an excellent point this week and all weeks to remember.
Mm-hmm. And so, 247 years. Hopefully we get a couple more and get to 250. That'd be nice.
Yeah, 248.
Good round number. I'm sorry, yes, 248. Yeah, it'd be nice to get to a good round number, 250.
There you go. We'll see what happens over the next couple of months. It's gonna be interesting. I think it is difficult to take in the tough headline after tough headline and the seemingly very difficult Supreme Courts and these other institutions that are getting rolled back and blows to it. It's just it is a weird week, and for a lot of people that are unplugging for the holiday or just because it's getting to be too much, mm-hmm. totally understandable. Yeah. And I think it's important though to remember that it is we the people that are striving for that more perfect union. So even though you do have to take a break from time to time, and it's totally okay to pause, the work still goes on, and there's absolutely a role for everybody to play in our union, because it is a republic if we can keep it.
Well said. As Benjamin Franklin did so very many years ago on this day, as it turns out, in 1776. And to that point, Luke, I think of anything, you know, I always try to be the eternal optimist. Not that I don't get down, I do. But I think to me, what the last few days has said is what you just could, another way, don't give up. And there are still options. And our best option for all of us is to get registered and get to the polls in both August and November.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You want to be a voter this election, this year. Aaron, how many elections have you had that weren't the most important election of your lifetime?
A couple of school board ones.
Okay. But the up ballot, there wasn't getting billed as the most important election of your lifetime? There's some spring elections, you're saying?
Not since I've been able to vote.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely one of those things where it's like...
I mean, when I was younger, it wasn't necessarily the most important.
Yeah.
But I was not 18.
Yeah, not that you could vote in. But seemingly, these last several election cycles have been the most important election cycle of our lifetime. But that, it seems like a cliche, but it's truer and truer with the stakes that are being... the raising of the stakes that are occurring every day.
And we had talked about this a little bit with Matt Flynn yesterday. Of course, he's a two-time former Democratic Party of Wisconsin chair. And again, I think I'll point the finger first at my former party, left Republican Party, I did in 2011. We see it now with Adam Kinzinger and Liz Cheney. Paul Ryan's right at the cusp. He's gone from, I'm not going to be in Milwaukee to I'm not going to endorse Trump. To Trump is wholly unqualified to be president. One more step and he can join Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger and actually saying I'm voting for Joe Biden. But I think that disaffected Republicans, my former party, if you're going to vote for sheriff or county clerk, for Republican, fine, whatever. But you have to be willing to cross over and vote for Joe Biden to save democracy. Independence the same way. And I would say to my Democratic friends, many of whom are disaffected or upset with the current administration, whether it's Gaza or not enough on clean energy or not enough on student loan debt, all of that may be true and valid and good points, but I think that you have to put that aside to say that, well, because I'm upset with those things, now I'm voting for Jill Stein or Cornel West, or I'm not going to vote. That is a vote for Donald Trump, and that is a vote to end democracy.
Yeah, I would definitely give some pushback on the not enough for climate and conservation and not enough for student loans. I don't know.
I'm not saying
right,
that.
Right. I that would be the first step, though, that I would
that's
take.
Not, yes. This is not yes, my what I'm saying. What I'm just saying there are Democrats out there or people who tend to vote Democratic, whether you want to call them liberals, progressive, whatever, that have been critical and saying they're going to stay home in 2024 because they have those concerns. Yeah. And I don't agree with them, and we have to build this coalition to save democracy first and then move forward.
Yes. Yeah. The outcome of the November election is a very consequential outcome. What the two paths that there are, because if anybody tells you there's more than two paths, they're either not paying attention or they're fooling themselves.
Yeah.
Because the country, like it for better or for worse, is a two-party system.
For now.
For now, yes. And that there's only one party that would move towards making it, expanding it beyond that. But that's a conversation and tangent for another day. but the outcome in November is going to go one of two ways. It is either going to be the former president, Donald Trump, winning another term, or it is going to be the current president, Joe Biden, winning another term.
Mm-hmm.
That is the political makeup that is occurring right now. There, you can say what you want about the way that the process works. That is the process.
Yeah.
Folks are talking about an open convention and a brokered convention, a very Sorkin-esque idea.
Watching too much West Wing.
Yep. And I myself love the West Wing. I love the newsroom. I loved all of that. But thinking that there is some form of alternative, it is true that this debate took place before the official nomination. But the official nomination at the Democratic National Convention this year is in August. Mm. It's relatively later in the cycle, and it's so late in the cycle that there's actually several states that are going to already, at least one I know, and I believe more, Ohio itself will already have the filing deadline for the official nominee. So there's already party politics going on around how Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are going to show up on the Democratic ticket for the state of Ohio. And there's states like Texas that are not far behind. And you could say, oh, well, what's the big deal? Biden and Harris aren't going to contend in Ohio and Texas. But that goes to then automatically writing off Sherrod Brown for U.S. Senate. Mm-hmm. Because without a top of the ticket pulling in more voters to the polls in Ohio, Sherrod Brown is not going to get reelected. Mm-hmm. If there is a chance for a Democratic pickup in the U.S. Senate this cycle, Texas is one of those states that is the closest possibility for a flip from Republican representative to a Democratic representative. Mm-hmm. Colin Allred, if you take Joe Biden off or try to replace Joe Biden at the top of the ticket in Texas, you are saying so long to the chances of picking up that U.S. Senate seat in Texas.
What I also thought was interesting in talking to Matt Flynn, who is an attorney and was part of the Democratic system for a long time. I don't want to get in the weeds on this. And he said he's not an expert, obviously, in every state. But I didn't know this, that there could be multiple lawsuits if the Democrats were to change, because different states have different laws. When you have a primary and the Democrats say, legally, we have voted to give these delegates in the first round to Joe Biden, that some states allow a change at convention without having another vote. Others, it's unclear. And you could theoretically have multiple lawsuits in multiple states if you were to change nominees and go with someone other than what the primary voters in each respective state did. So it could get really messy really fast. And I don't think that's giving people democracy its best chance against Trumpism.
Yeah. And I mean, we've seen the what happens with the lawsuits. Like, there were 66 lawsuits after the election in 2020 that the Trump administration was waging, trying to say, hey, this is what's going on. But they tried and they brought their cases before, and all of those were struck down. But the uncertainty, the lack of, and the loss of faith in our electoral process that voters, in particular on the Republican side, because of what was spouted by the former president and a lot of his allies in the media and other elected officials, there's been a loss of trust and faith in our institutions like the elections. And so this is only going to add more to that. It's very unfortunate, I think, that there is this type of conversation going on this late in the game, because again, it's parties that hold these primaries.
Right.
It is not the state, and as you said, there's so many different laws out there in the different states. It's important to point out, though, as well, the last 4 years, Donald Trump and his allies in those red states were the ones changing a lot of those election laws, trying to make it easier for him to sew up the nomination process earlier, because he wanted to fight off challengers like Nikki Haley and Ron DeSantis.
Little breaking news for you, courtesy of Channel 3000 here in Madison. The Wisconsin Supreme Court has agreed today to hear the case brought by Planned Parenthood, asking the court to enshrine a right to abortion in the state of the Wisconsin Constitution. The order was handed down by the court's 4-justice liberal majority. A draft of the decision was leaked last week. So we'll see, Luke. Looks like the Wisconsin State Supreme Court's going to weigh in.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting decision.
Always interesting with Luke Mathers on a Tuesday tangent with Lukester, back with more about the Brewers and 1776 and whatever else he wants. What's grinding his gears? We'll find out. Stay with us in Civic Media.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Donald Trump brags he nominated the justices who overturned Roe v. Wade, getting rid of the constitutional right to abortion.
Well, I did something that nobody thought was possible. I got rid of Roe v. Wade. For 54 years, they were trying to get Roe v. Wade terminated, and I did it, and I'm proud to have done it.
Donald Trump not only took away abortion rights, he wants to monitor pregnant women and punish those who seek an abortion. Just listen.
Do you believe in punishment for abortion? Yes or no, as a principle?
The answer is that there has to be some form of punishment.
For the woman?
Yeah.
Banning abortion, monitoring and punishing women. That's how far Trump might go in a second term. Visit abetterwisconsintogether.org/TrumpMonitor to tell Donald Trump his views on abortion are too extreme for Wisconsin. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Sit down, John. Sit down, John. For God's sake, John. Sit down. Sit down, John. Sit down, John. For God's sake, John. Sit down.
Someone ought to open up a window.
Welcome back to the Tunnel Bowl Show. Not just in Philadelphia, it's hot as hell in our studio.
Not quite 90 degrees. Yeah.
But that's another hitherto unknown fact history in Philadelphia on this day, July 6th, the real Independence
July
Day.
July 2nd.
Yeah, that's what I say.
6th.
Why did I say July 6th? It's been that kind of a morning. July 2nd, 1776. I just skipped all the other numbers.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what the old dyslexia combined a mad cow does.
There you go.
On July 2nd, 1776, it was extraordinarily hot in Philadelphia that day. And so some of the delegates wanted to close the windows because also the biting flies were terrible. And so they wanted, it was a choice.
Well, just imagine if one of those biting flies got into your wig back then. Right. You're like trying to swat it and you can't quite get it. Yeah, this is a tough life they were living back
right.
then.
Some of the delegates wanted the windows closed to keep out the flies. Other guys wanted it to be open to
get a breeze.
Yeah. It was tough in Philadelphia.
They also had no running water. There was no coffee machines or anything. Yeah, it was a tough life back then.
Their wives were back home. They had no significant others. It was a tough life out there in Philadelphia for those founding fathers.
They locked them in the room until they came out with a declaration.
Yeah, and thank goodness that
they did. Have you been to Independence Hall?
I have not. It's on my bucket list.
Oh,
have you?
Oh, yeah, a couple times. It's a gorgeous building. The history throughout Philadelphia, but there specifically, is just amazing. An unfortunate first time I was there, my grandfather got pickpocketed while we were waiting
out
for our tour.
In Philadelphia? Independence Hall?
In Independence Hall.
That's terrible.
Yeah, that was one of those, what's going on right now? Okay, we got to cancel some credit cards.
That was back
in the day of the cell phones just starting and payphone. I think we went to a payphone to cancel the credit cards.
That's terrible.
Yeah. But Independence Hall, very great.
Minus the pickpocketers. Put things in your front pocket and a zipper, and you're all good to go.
Yeah. So that was I was very young at that time. So one of the first trips with grandma and grandpa that I remember, and that was a very vivid memory.
The Brewers last night went to extra innings, Lukester, out there in the beautiful Colorado Rockies.
Yeah.
And went 10 innings, although the Rockies got the best of them in 10. But they did manage to take 2 of 3 at home against the Craig Counselors.
Yeah, did you see Murph get ejected last night, too?
No, I did not see that.
Yeah,
that's great.
There was a misplay. The umps were kind of... they were a little salty with Pat because Pat was being salty with them for a. They called Ortiz out at first when for being out of the path of the baseline or something. I don't know. It was a nonsense call, and Murph got really upset about it. And he went out there and he got ejected.
Yes.
So it was definitely this is an unfortunate end to lose in 10, but it was close. I mean, 8-7. You got to be very happy with the offense. Little bit better pitching last night could have changed some things earlier on in the game, but taking care of the Cubbies at home is always great.
Also, quick note, Todd, I know you like that Pat Murphy is salty, but yeah. I don't know if cheering for him getting ejected from the game.
I love every part of it because in baseball, that's part of the game. I love it because he doesn't take crap. The players, I think, are inspired. They like it.
That's
and,
fair.
And I think we're seeing, look, I'm not a hater of Craig Counsell. He gave everything he could to the Milwaukee Brewers his entire life, basically. But look, he made a choice. And I think maybe what we're seeing here is sometimes it takes at least a duo to make things work. Oh, yeah. And I think that, you know, Craig Counsell is probably very great player relations, but I think maybe we're seeing at least part of the brains behind the Brewers' success recently is Pat Murphy.
Well, I think it's every organization, you have to gel, though, too, correctly. And so just coming in and thinking that you can take whatever is working successfully for you and then apply it immediately to a new club, that's not necessarily how it works. Right. So you could have a really good coach or a really good manager. Doesn't mean that it's going to translate to immediate success with another clubhouse. I mean, we saw it. Doc Rivers is a good coach.
Right.
Wasn't gelling in Milwaukee with the Bucks very well to kick off this season. Hopefully time and the process can play out. But I have a feeling Craig Counsell will have a little bit better future seasons if he's able to make it to those future seasons.
Brewers will take on the Rockies again tonight, I believe at 7:05-ish, somewhere in there. You can hear it on WRCE in Richland Center, WRJN, Racine, Kenosha, Oshkosh Air Support, WISS in Oshkosh, 98Q Country, WCQM.
Yeah, if you're headed up north and you want to listen to the Brewers, tune into your civic media station of the Northwoods.
Station.
Yeah.
Again, we can't do it on the app.
You can't listen on the app but beautiful. 98.3 FM out of Park Falls. Right. Beautiful signal. You can catch it pretty much throughout the entire Northwoods.
Very good. Well, we'll hope for a happy ending tonight for the Milwaukee Brewers. Certainly. Always a good time had by all. Luke Mathers, what's grinding your gears?
I don't have a whole lot grinding my gears.
Really?
Still,
how's the house painting going?
I don't want to sound like a broken record.
I've talked to fans over the weekend. They told me the favorite part of the last couple of tangents has been your house painting update. And of course, we thought Luke had a three-sided house for a while. Turns out, no.
I got 3/4 painted of the house, but the fourth side got sanded and some primer on it last night. So we did not get to it's the largest side. We saved the worst side of the house for last. It's kind of like one of those it sounded like a good idea to start, it's kind of one of those daunting tasks now to end with.
Right.
But we got some primer on the house. We were hoping Mother Nature was going to cooperate over the holiday weekend, but it looks like rain is in the forecast
pretty much
every single day.
Any big plan other than house painting? Any big Mathers 4th of July activity?
Taking a hair dryer and just trying to dry the house as best I can so I can keep painting. No, we'll have some fun. We'll do some picnics, maybe check out a fireworks show. It's Aurora's first year of fireworks, so we're going to try to see how we can ease her into the process. There's been some neighbors firing them off sporadically over the last couple nights. Not a big fan to start, but last night...
Lots of dogs, it's a very serious thing.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And last night, there was a number of them before the rain came in as well, and she was getting a little bit better with it. So I think there's signs of growth, but we'll see how it goes.
Just slowly but surely, right? Just kind of sit with her and hold her and see how she does.
Well, we won't get too close to any firework displays, but we'll ease into the process this year.
All right, sounds good. And a big show coming up for Earl Ingram tomorrow morning. He has the President of the United States, Joe Biden, on his show.
Yeah.
We're
locking down the details now, but the President of the United States, Joe Biden, going to be joining Earl Ingram on his program.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Huge get. Congrats to Earl.
Yeah, Earl's doing the work of getting all the guests. It's amazing. So we're really excited to be covering this election, and we're honored to have the president join Earl on the airwaves.
Absolutamente. Always a joy having you here, Lukester. Thank you very much. We appreciate you.
Absolutely.
Happy 4th.
Happy 4th of July to you, too,
we'll
sir.
See you next week. Stay tuned. More on the other side. It's the Tunnel Ball Show for a Tuesday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Maggie Dawn.
Next, I'll discuss the implications of the Supreme Court's ruling for Jack Smith's continuing case and 3 days of Joe Biden's top 100.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of civic media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.